I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. And you know what it is, but we got to start with our biggest winners and our biggest losers of the week. And we're going to start in college football. Our biggest winners this week are going to come from the Texas Longhorns. And they got a nod in week two with them going to the Big House and destroying Michigan. But the reason why they're getting the nod this week is because their starting quarterback, Quinn Ewers, got hurt. And once he got hurt, in comes Archie Manning. And when I say the offense did not miss a beat, I'm telling you, they did not miss a beat. And I also think it's a little bit criminal how athletic Archie Manning is, based on how Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, they could throw the ball, but outside of the pocket, it was a little wonky at times. That's not going to be this Manning's quarterback problem at all. So we can thank Cooper for that, because it did not come from Eli or Peyton, okay? And the way their offense was just able to continue to move the ball, have explosive plays, that means that Arch Manning is ready and prepared for when his number is going to be called for the full-time starting position next season. So kudos to the Texas Longhorns. Kudos to Arch Manning. And as an Oklahoma fan, and I hate to say it, man, they look good. And congratulations to them on being the new number one team in college after Georgia struggled against Kentucky. And now on to our biggest losers of college football. Florida State. Florida State, you are now 0-3. You lost to Memphis. The University of Memphis. You paid the University of Memphis almost $1 million to come play you at home, and you lose. I don't know what Norvell is going to do. I don't know what DJ is going to do. I don't know what that team is even thinking. I know that locker room mentality right now is not fun. Coming off of a season where you went undefeated, and many believe, including me, that you were cheated out of the college football playoffs to start this season 0-3 and to look just so discombobulated on the offensive side of the ball. And another Florida team, the University of Florida, you are also starting your season on the losing side. And it's looking really grim. Billy Napier, there are already talks of him not even making it through the rest of the season. That's how down bad they are. And the Florida State, Florida game, it's not looking like must-watch TV, okay? So that's going to be interesting when they do play. But right now, that's not a game that people have marked on their calendars, and I don't see that turning around anytime soon. Now, let's switch gears and go to the NFL, and we'll see who our biggest winners and losers are. Let's start with our biggest winners. And I hate to say this because, you know, I am a Carolina Panthers fan and it hurts my soul just a little bit to say this. But coming out of 2 weeks in this NFL season, I have to give a nod to the New Orleans Saints. And yes, I'm upset that the New Orleans Saints have averaged almost 46 points a game. They scored 47 on us, but you know what made me feel better? They scored 44 on the Cowboys. Yes, they scored 44 points on the Cowboys. And the Cowboys have a great defense. Many people said, including me, I was one of those people, yeah, the Saints did good, but it was the Carolina Panthers. You know, let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but then they went and they did the same thing to Dallas. But the only reason why I'm still a little on the Saints, not because they're my divisional rivals, but because Dallas offense has not really been that explosive once you shut down CeeDee. Once you shut him down, the other wide receivers aren't necessarily making a lot of noise to where you can have that prominent wide receiver too. And their running game, they're barely averaging over 60 rushing yards a game right now. So that's tough. So we will see how it plays out after week two. But right now, I'm going to give a nod to the New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr. Derek Carr is one of those quarterbacks that I've noticed watching him over the years. He goes up and down, up and down. Last year, he was down. So it makes sense that he's going to be up this time. I mean, he's already in the first two games. He's completing 76%. Of his passes, along with having the best QBR in the league right now. He has 5 passing touchdowns and 1 interception right now. And I'm also going to give a shout out to Alvin Kamara, who looks to be more of himself, more of the powerful, elusive running back that I've seen from last season. And he's dominating. He has 4 touchdowns already as well in just these first two games. So I'm going to be really interested to see how the Saints continue to grow. Going into finishing out the season. But right now, they're looking like a top team, okay? And I'm also going to go on. We're going to move on to our biggest losers. And I'm going to talk about, of course, the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to talk about the Carolina Panthers, and I'm going to talk about them deciding to bench Bryce Young this week. And they're going to start Andy Dalton next week. Now, the things I have been seeing on Twitter, the tweets I have been seeing, they're all saying Bryce is not a good quarterback. We should have drafted CJ. If we would have drafted CJ, we wouldn't have been in this predicament. CJ is 10 times better than Bryce. And my rebuttal to that is this. CJ Stroud would have been in the same predicament that Bryce Young is in right now. Okay? When you go out and you draft a rookie quarterback, you have to set him up for success. Because if you don't set him up for success, his confidence is going to continually dwindle, which is what we're seeing of Bryce Young after these first 2 weeks. His confidence is gone. He's missing routine throws that if we go back and look at film from his rookie season that he made, okay? Let's think, like I said last week, we're talking about a rookie quarter, his rookie year, right? He was sacked 62 times. His wide receivers got top 5 lowest separation rate, okay? So, of course, he didn't have a good rookie season, guys. And then, like I said in the previous episode, he had 2 head coaches his rookie year. 2 different play callers his rookie year. Then you scrap the entire offense, the entire coaching staff to start year 2, okay? Completely new system. Then this head coach thinks that it's a great idea to not have him play in the preseason. He has completely different play callers and mostly new personnel, and you decide to only play him 1 series for 5 plays, and you march down the field, score a touchdown, and now you think that's it. No, he should have been playing in more games. This is only his 2nd year and he's going with his 3rd new play caller. Why not have him have that experience in the preseason? He was playing a Bills defense in the preseason. None of them are on the Bills. So how do you think he's going to look when he starts in his 2nd season? His confidence has dwindled based on all the talk around him, the organization. His confidence is gone. And then you put him out there and now he's performing bad. And now everyone's saying, oh, CJ Stroud is making these throws. Yes, CJ Stroud is making these throws and plays. He immediately went to an organization that listened to him. They started listening to him on draft night when he told them, I want Tank Dell as my wide receiver. And what did they do? They draft Tank Dell. They already had Nico Collins, who was a good wide receiver 1. Carolina traded their best wide receiver 1. Okay, so you take a quarterback needs, especially a rookie quarterback needs that stability. Okay, then you had a great head coach at Houston in D'Amico Ryans. He's a good head coach. Frank should have never been named head coach. Carolina had a great head coach in Steve Wilks, who I think they should have kept instead of hiring Frank. And then it's not necessarily a secret that Frank didn't really want to draft Bryce Young, but the owner wanted to draft Bryce Young. So how do you think a quarterback is going to feel when you find out that you're, or you see the clippings and the news articles about your brand new coach saying, or not necessarily saying, but alluding to other people that he would have preferred a different quarterback than a quarterback that he got. What do you think that's going to do to his confidence? It's going to shoot it down, and it's going, and you go, you have to build it up. We haven't allowed him to build his confidence back up because we have surrounded him with nothing. CJ never had to build his confidence up because he went into a great situation that allowed him to have his confidence already be built. Okay? And then many people would say, well, Cam Newton didn't have a lot of help either. Cam Newton came from not having help. When Cam Newton won the national championship with Auburn, can you really name me one offensive player, wide receiver, or running back that was so dominant or was the superstar? Cam put that team on his back. Cam was built to put a team on his back. Bryce Young came from Bama, okay? Bryce Young, he didn't necessarily have as much talent as CJ had at Ohio State, but he had good talent, okay? He was able to make something out of nothing a lot of the times. I saw him drive 97 yards against Auburn and to score 8 points in order to take the game into overtime. When his wide receiver one wasn't the best. So he has the potential. But we never built him up to showcase that potential. The Carolina Panthers as an organization have not made a right decision since they decided to let Cam go after his injury. You can't tell me one good decision the Carolina Panthers have made since then. Tepper as the owner, his winning percentage since he bought the team is 307. We have the worst win percentage behind the New York Jets, guys. It's an organizational thing. You draft the number one quarterback, but before then, like I said, you let Christian McCaffrey walk for nothing. We haven't picked right in the draft. Besides, I think Bryce Young, when Bryce Young leaves Carolina, he's going to succeed. I'm watching it now with Sam Darnold, who is now 2-0 with the Minnesota Vikings, and he wasn't even slated to be the starting quarterback. It was going to be J.J. McCarthy. But now that McCarthy's hurt, Sam Darnold is performing how I thought if Carolina would have gave him a little bit more time to come back from his injury, he could have been good. We are seeing what Baker Mayfield is doing. The organization is draining players because they are not making the right decisions. I'm glad that Bryce is benched. I hope Andy Dalton goes out and perform really well. And I think Bryce Young needs to take this time to reflect. Okay? Has he been making mistakes? Yes, his confidence is shot. Has the O-line given him more time than they did last year? Yes, but he's chasing shadows still in the pocket because he was sacked 62 times last year. Okay? I'm sick of seeing the tweets and the other noise saying CJ would have been better. No. Not necessarily. CJ would have been in the same situation with the same terrible organization who consistently makes bad decisions. Okay, they are my biggest losers. And so is everyone who are saying that CJ would have been better than Bryce. You're also my biggest losers. So give you guys a round of applause for that. So I'm sorry I kind of went on a little rant there, but I'm very passionate about that. That's a topic that I'm like, let's look at the entire picture here. Let's not place all the blame on Bryce when we gave him nothing to work with from the beginning. And now we're expecting him to be solid. It is going to take time. It is going to take time. But if after the trade deadline, if they decide to trade him, I'm 90% sure that he would flourish. He would flourish to whatever NFL team, he would flourish. Now, to another one of my biggest winners, I'm going to the WNBA now, and I got to give a shout out to Asia Wilson, for scoring her 1,000, the first WNBA player to score 1,000 points in the season. And we all know that the WNBA is growing, so when they expand and they get more teams and the season becomes longer and it'll become normal for players to score 1,000 points in the season, we always got to go back to Miss Wilson, okay? Because she set the standard and she's a clear MVP for this year. So, got to give her a round of applause. And I got to give her a little extra round of applause because, yes, she is my soror. So, yeah, shout out to the AKAs. So, those are the things that I had to get off my chest. And congrats to those teams who are my winners. And to my losers, man, I hope you guys get it right. And now we're going to come back to a newer thing I'm going to add into the show. It's called Ali Picks, where I'm going to take 3 to 4 games from the college football week, as well as the NFL, and I'm going to pick which teams I think are going to win out of these top matchups. Okay, so this week in college football, College Game Day is going to be in Norman, Oklahoma, and you guys know this already, I'm a Boomer Sooner, I'm a Sooners fan. And this week, we're taking on Tennessee in our first SEC game, okay? College Game Day is going to be there. It's going to be a night game. The atmosphere is going to be electric. And like I said before, Boomer Sooner. But do I think that we're going to win our first SEC game? Based on our performances against Tulane and some other schools that are not necessarily high up in the top 25, I'm going to give the edge to the Orange in Tennessee. I told you guys before, I'm always going to keep it 100 with you. No biases, just facts and numbers. Tennessee right now has the better offensive game plan. And I will give a shout out to Oklahoma and Brent Venables for improving our defense so that our defense can be on SEC caliber. He has gotten his guys in there, some really good guys. Shout out to Danny Stutzman and Billy Bowman for being great defensive players. And I think they're going to make some plays, but I don't think they're going to make enough to stop Tennessee's offense. High-powered offense, air raid offense. It always seems like a wide receiver is open. They have a quarterback that is accurate with a strong arm. It's going to be I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I do think Tennessee is going to go into Norman and they're going to beat Oklahoma. Okay, so that's my pick for college football. And now on to NFL. There's going to be two games that I'm going to keep my eye on. Okay, and those two games are the Cowboys versus Baltimore. And the reason why Cowboys versus the Ravens, and the reason why my eye is on that game is because you have Baltimore who have shocked everyone and started 0-2. Okay? I could see them maybe going 1-1, but 0-2, I don't think anyone had that on their bingo cards, except for Steelers fans. But with them being 0-2, they need a win. They need, like, it's not a want or it would be nice to win. They need to win that game. And then Dallas just got embarrassed in their home stadium by the Saints. So Dallas wants to prove something. So it's going to be a very push and pull type of game. But I think I'm going to have to give the edge to the Ravens. The Ravens need that win. I think the urgency in that locker room is that they have to win, and I think they're going to come together. I think we're going to see Lamar have a fabulous game, and I know it's going to be kind of tough for him because Dallas does have such a great defense, but Dallas' rushing game is so subpar that I see the Ravens pulling it out. So that's my pick. I'm going with the Ravens. Okay, and then for my second game, we have Philly versus the Saints. Okay? So the Eagles and the Saints, that's an interesting one to me because the how the Falcons were able to drive in like 30 seconds to close out that game against that Eagles defense and what I've seen from Derek Carr and the Saints. I see the Saints winning that game too. And that's just because of how poor the Eagles defense played against the Falcons. And I think a lot of people feel the same. If you're not an Atlanta fan, you feel the same way I do. Once we watched that game last night. The Falcons. Yes, the Falcons. And the Eagles, they're going to be 1-1. They're 1-1 right now. And I see them going 1-2. And the Saints going to 3-0. Now, both of my two NFL picks, if they go the opposite way, I'm not going to be upset because it is the NFL. Anything can happen. But my second pick is the Saints. I think the Saints are going to start the season 3-0, and the Eagles are going to start 1-2. And, yeah, I don't have much to say after that. It's going to be interesting games. I'm going to make sure I am glued to the TV to watch and analyze it. And so that we can see if you guys put in the comments down below if you think I'm right or wrong. Let me know if you think my picks are right. Let me know if I'm wrong, but you got to put it down in the comments, okay? And depending on how many likes I can get this video, next week I'll even throw in some prize picks prediction. Help you guys make some money. Who doesn't like money? Okay? And hey, I have a few people that can vouch for me. I don't make too many wrong decisions when it comes to prize picks. So, you guys got to get, let's say, if I can get 50 likes on this video, I'll add prize picks to the next one. Okay? All right. Once again, I'm Kayla Ali. And don't forget to find me on all my social medias and on YouTube. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Oddly Perspective.